My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is genuinely one of my very favorite places online to buy indie TTRPGs. They have a fantastic selection from some of my favorite designers and excellent customer service. And as part of their sponsorship of this season of Perils and Princesses, they are generously offering one of the biggest discounts they have ever offered, 15% off Perils and Princesses, the adventure module Sweet Revenge, or any other game in their store if you use our exclusive promo code PERIL15. That's PERIL15 to get 15% off. But not only are you going to get 15% off, you'll be letting the fine folks at Tabletop Bookshelf know that we were the ones who sent you there. And this is incredibly important. It lets Tabletop Bookshelf know that their investment in us and in actual play is a worthwhile one. It helps them grow their business and also helps us approach more sponsors in the future so we can continue making My First Dungeon better each and every season. So go to tabletopbookshelf.com, use code PERIL15, and get 15% off your next favorite game. And with that, enjoy the show. The way the shadows move. It's as if the curse can sense it. As if it can feel you moving closer towards its destruction. With two of the three necessary items in your possession, the darkness around you grows deeper and it grows stronger. The branches of the Tanglewood reach out and pull at your cloaks and twist up to try and trip you and delay you on your quest. The curse feels your progress. It knows what you seek and how close you are to finding it, and it is marshaling all the shadows of the forest to march to where it knows you four fools must go. Brave princesses, indeed. But fools all the same, because you of all people know well that there is nothing more foolish than entering the domain of a witch.
Okay, well, calm down on fools.
I mean, right, calm down.
Are you also offended? Because I got mad.
I just...
Like, we are, but you ain't got to say it. That's for us.
I feel like Geraldine has aged out of being called a fool. She's too old to be foolish.
Right. Yeah.
Geraldine breaks the fourth wall and punches the narrator. It's like...
Parkour!
You know what I imagine?
Parkour!
I imagine that the opening narration is getting, inscribed in script, yes. Like, above you guys
yeah.
walk. And Geraldine parkour up, grabs the word fool and like cranks it down.
Oh. Flips it back at the narrator.
Fool.
How'd you do that?
It comes, it's a skill that comes with age. I'll show you at level 4.
I didn't even know there was a wall there.
Wow.
That's crazy.
After passing the night on the shores of the Everlost Lake, recovering from the ill omens of the baddie potion, there was some hurling, there was some bodily fluids. It was a bummer for everyone but Geraldine, who can hold her baddie potion.
Heck yes.
You guys spent the next day, maybe day and a half, traveling south towards Dulcinea's Tower. And along the road, everything got darker and more difficult to traverse. Matt was taking it in like small steps, trying to get over these crazy routes. But now you come to the edge of the Blue Thread River. Just across it, you can see the bog that is the entrance to Dulcinea's Tower. But this river was never something that was traversed by the villagers no one would choose to come here. And Dulcinea, it seems, was able to use magic to traverse this river, for there is no bridge or no way across. And the water moves quite swiftly. You see just across is the bog, and just off in the distance you can see the very tip of the many stories high tower of Dulcinea. And everything around you starts to smell just a little bit sweet.
Forward the river. Sorry.
Forward the river.
I leave it to you. How would you like to cross the Blue Thread River?
Forward the river.
Mir, I don't know. It's moving pretty fast.
Sorry. I've played a lot of Oregon Trail.
I know, it's your favorite game.
Oh. Wait, I have magic rope.
I was going to say, don't we have something that allows us to teleport, fly, or something?
Throw the rope, it stays across the way, and then we could use it like a bridge. We could walk across.
And then we could walk tightrope.
Yeah. How's everyone balance? We got that core strength in us?
You know, I mean, I can still taste batty potion all the way to the back of my teeth, but I can give it a shot.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Brian, do we know if the magic items are like single use? Like, is the pixie wings situation a single use item?
Most magic items in this game are not single use, okay, but they do have like a recharge cost to them.
Okay.
So you know that the pixie wings, every time to recharge them, you have to play a prank on someone.
Yes.
Oh, and they did get recharged. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have been recharged. I believe the pixie wings last for, I believe, an hour. I will double check that. But there's a good amount of time for those wings if you want to go that route.
And then how like wide is this? If one were to hazard a leap and had skill in that area.
I think this is like, this is a proper river.
Oh.
Could you go for a leap? I'd certainly let you try, but this would be a disadvantage world.
Okay. Well, the boots allow us to teleport to a familiar location. I can smell the other side of the river from here. I can smell the sweetness increasing. So we could teleport over as a group. We have the rope that would be climbing or balancing or running across. And the hair clip allows, who's wearing that? Is that Adelaide? To sprout wings and float.
Yeah, I'm wearing that. Yeah, I can definitely, I can float like this. It'll be fine. Adelaide, who has taken a seat, did need to sit down for a second. No, it's fine. I can drive. No, it's fine.
What?
It's totally fine. I can drive. I got it.
What are you driving?
It's going to start flying from a seated position.
I'm good. I got it. So Adelaide, just like the wings sprout out from the butterfly clip. And you just see, like, because she wasn't sitting, like, gorgeously. This wasn't, like, a crisscross applesauce situation. Like, she was definitely, like, splayed out. Much like a baby. Like a hungover baby. So you just watch as, like, the wings.
You know. you know.
They get milk drunk.
All of the babies you've seen hungover. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's not just me. Let's not pretend. But so you just see her start to, like, float up into the air. It does take like an extra bit of oomph because she keeps getting stuck at the butt, but she just like wills it up until she's up in the air, still kind of like almost sort of like in a seating position with her legs just like flailing. Not like fun flailing, but just like, you know, almost like wacky inflatable arm guy as the wind hits them.
When you guys all heard about this item from Queen Gardenia, when you got it, you all kind of like pictured in your mind what it would be like to fly and like
so
how
beautiful.
Brilliant, like you saw the pixies doing it. They were doing those like tesseractine formations. It was beautiful. But like, you don't realize that they had to learn how to skate first.
Yes.
Oh no.
But Adelaide, you begin to float. You're getting your sea legs. It is not cute. This is not cute. But in terms of being functional, you immediately feel that like these wings are strong.
Okay.
You feel like you can easily pick people up. I think you recognize that you will be able to move across with everyone here except for the horses.
So I can pick everybody up, but we are gonna have to. And Adelaide just looks at a mirror and is like, baby, my love, uh-huh. My brave baby.
Yes.
So brave.
So brave. Have we said that? So brave.
Why do you all keep saying that to me?
So brave, Mira.
We are going to probably have to leave our...
Spot? We can leave spot. That's fine.
We will probably have to leave both of them. But, you know, they could talk about horse stuff. together. Maybe they haven't had a chance to bond horse to horse, you know? Horse to horse boyfriend.
I mean, we left them outside the entire time we were at the ball. I feel like they bonded a lot.
You guys got back. It was pretty clear that there was a vibe of we haven't talked this entire time. they were grazing in separate areas.
Spot Matt was like, nah, we don't do that.
That's, we don't
nah.
do that.
Like, we don't yeah. do that. Nah.
You guys have a momentary flash of like... So, like, do you have any hobbies or?
Yes.
I like grazing and being quiet. What about you?
Ooh, I like Magic the Gathering and rock concerts. This isn't going to work.
Is it Spot that plays Magic the Gathering, Brian?
Yeah.
It's Spot for sure. It's Spot for sure.
Because he's rich.
Because he's rich.
But yeah, so if everybody, if you want to jump aboard Train Adelaide, no, that's not right. Get on the Adelaide Express.
The Adelaide Express.
Yeah,
kind of got better.
Are you drunk still?
I am still a little. That I drank too much Batty Potion is the thing.
Amira takes out the Batty Potion, looks at the ingredients. 2% alcohol. Jesus Christ.
Right. I know, a whole 2%.
2%. That's crazy.
That's a lot for us. You're right.
That's a lot for us.
Princesses, you know.
So do you want to get up on this? No.
No. You want to ride Adelaide?
You guys go. I'm going to... Can I walk the rope, Brian, with Matt?
So, I'm just going to game this out real quick. And if this is what you want to do, you can absolutely do this. You have a magic rope.
Uh-huh.
And that rope you can throw across, or you like shoot an arrow across to have it lie taut.
Totally.
As a bridge, essentially. Or rather as a tightrope, a literal tightrope.
Yep.
And then you want a horse.
Yes.
To walk with its four legs. Yes. That like, and I just want to kind of put this in mind.
Yeah.
The width of a horse's legs is like a couple of feet.
Yep.
You know, like, or maybe like 2 feet, you know.
Yes. So
gotta be a circus out there that has a tightrope walking horse.
Yeah.
Y'all, if Matt drops in this river and dies, I am going to blame Chinook for the end of time. Just so y'all know, I will never let them live this down.
This quadrupedal, majestic animal to try to walk across tightrope. That's what you want to do?
I just wanted to see if it was an option I could do. I don't know.
It's an option. I want to set you up for success here.
Just want to know what the consequences might be for my actions.
You know, maybe roll with disadvantage like a crazy person.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You're going to roll with disadvantage.
Amira, maybe it's just a girl's trip, you know?
Look, I understand that y'all are really close, but like, it's, you know, some, you don't want to get codependent, right? With your horse.
Far too late for that.
Man.
Wait, you're years behind. Okay, fine. It could be a girl's trip. we're back in a day at most.
I mean, we're going to try.
Yeah, you can be without him for a day. Adelaide just like starts to like pick. What's the opposite of uppies when someone is reaching down to you to get you to come up?
Like when you're picking up a child that doesn't want to get picked up. Yeah, that's what's happening.
He's kind of scooping him.
Doesn't want to get picked up and is like, is it okay if I go, Matt? Like, no, wait, Adelaide, wait. We didn't do our 10 kisses yet.
Gross.
Oh, God. Get, we gotta go. Everybody.
We gotta get out of here before.
I hate it so much.
You guys, with Adelaide's wings, fly across the Blue Thread River, leaving both Matt and Spot on the other side in kind of like a small clearing.
Wait, really fast, if I may.
Yeah.
Brownie is coming.
Oh, yeah.
While this whole argument is happening, Winnie has like Brownie in her mouth, like bitten by the scruff of his neck.
With the scruff.
We are bringing our chocolate knight sniff detecting dog. I don't care about Matt. Matt gonna be fine.
What the hell? What do you mean? Yo, this whoa, hold on.
I'm just not even making eye contact as I like.
Matthew, this is not a discussion.
Can you put Matt in your mouth?
I can try. I can try. Bring me closer, Matt, and I'll try.
I just wanted to make sure the puppy was there. Brownie is with us.
You have Brownie in your mouth. He's been like deactivated as you're like holding him by the scruff.
Right. They go limp as soon as you pull him off all fours.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous.
As you guys fly across the Blue Thread River, Winnie, kind of in your ear, you hear Brownie just whimper a little bit as his tail kind of goes rigid, and he looks and he goes,
"The Dark Chocolate Knight's over there. Do you know? Dark Chocolate Knight's over there. Somewhere over there in the tower."
I have a scruff of Brownie in my mouth, so the most I can do is just shake my head in the affirmative with a yes.
"Oh, that's what I was afraid of."
"Oh, I'll reach down and scratch his belly. Poor baby."
"Oh, yes."
There we go. Belly scratches for the distraction. That's a good boy. I can't say it, but I can relay it.
I don't like this dog.
Adelaide, you fly them across the Blue Thread River and across a fair bit of this bog that surrounds the Tower of Dulcinea. And as your fairy wings kind of begin to disintegrate, you float down to a landing. All around you, there is this chocolate bog, this very wet and damp area, twists and turns all around that you have to maneuver through. But you see up on a hill this Tower of Dulcinea's, and you begin to move towards it. However, this bog being sticky and difficult to move through, I'm going to need everyone here to make a virtue test.
Oh, wow. Coming out swinging.
I'll let you choose what stat you'd like. I would say probably grace or resolve to push through this. And this is going to be a group check. If half or more of you succeed, no consequences. If more than half of you fail, there will be a little bit of consequence. Geraldine, success or failure?
Geraldine's doing resolve, and that's a success.
Hell yeah. Adelaide?
I'm rolling grace, and that is a success. It is 8 on 12.
Hell yeah. Amira?
So does meets it beats it?
Meets it beats it.
So yeah, I rolled a 12 on grace, and I have 12 grace.
Hell yeah. And then Winnie?
Ooh, I'm so glad Amira made it because I'm the one pulling up short, guys. I hit a 15 over a 14 on my resolve.
Oh my God, so close.
So close.
No worries.
Amira carried us on that one. Meets it beats it.
As you guys are moving through here, Amira, it is only you, like, moving behind Winnie that notices as Winnie is moving, like, quick through this bog, the wayfaring boots get, like, sucked down into the bog, and she, like, literally steps out of the boots for a moment, and you reach down and are able to grab these boots back up and not lose them to the bog.
Ooh, nice.
Wouldn't have happened if we had a horse. We'd all be riding a horse right now.
I don't know how easy horses get through bogs, Amira.
Well, we won't know now, would we?
You know, maybe on like a more fun trip and not so much like a life-saving mission, we'll figure it out.
One day.
One day, Amira, one day.
Fine.
Winnie, as you muscle these shoes back on, you see that the drawings and sketches and stuff, illustrations that Connie had put all over the boots.
Yeah.
The little timer on the side, the little clock face, has filled entirely. And you know that these boots are charged with that teleportation ability.
Oh, nice. I'm going to tap the timer just to make sure it's calibrating and reading correctly.
It like dips down for a second. You go, oh, no.
Oh, wait. I run 15 feet back and forth really fast. All fours. Okay, we're getting close.
As you move closer to the tower, you feel the effects of this candy curse clearly emanating from this tower. I'll say, just because it's not affecting any of you right now, mechanically, were you in this area and infected with the candy curse, you would be making a significant amount of checks every time you are, like, spending time at all to potentially advance that candy curse.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Mm.
And I think you just feel that in the nature around here. Everything is turning to candy. Like, there are a number of flowers that are, like, fully, like, Willy Wonka-fied. You know what I mean? Like, you break off a flower and it's, like, all made of chocolate and marzipan and things. In front of you, you see Dulcinea's tower climbing easily 50 feet high. Air around you just sickly sweet and heavy in that way that, like, just something so sickly sweet can really just, like, weigh you down after you eat it. The air feels like that. There's this low thrum all around you that you feel is the magic of a witch's domain that you know is powerful even if that witch is dead. I'd like everyone here to roll me a wits check just to kind of see what you see in this area.
It's never just like, I would like everyone here to have a big hug.
Oh, hell yeah. I got a one.
Me too.
Yay.
Oh, two crits.
I got a nat 20.
No!
I got a nat 20 too.
No!
Are you serious?
No joke. Yep, I'm literally switching out my dice right now.
What?
Yep, I'm literally switching them out.
Wait, that one, nat 20, nat 20?
Yep.
Yeah. That sucks. They fully cancel each other out.
That sucks.
I was literally about to make the joke. Well, okay, Winnie, like, let's roll yours and see if they cancel each other.
No, you can make it now, honey. Listen, I'm shaming my dice into they're not allowed to participate anymore.
Jesus.
They weren't willing to play, so.
It's a full moon tonight, yeah. You got to put them out to charge tonight.
Yep.
Let me tell you what you see with,
I
think Adelaide and Geraldine, like, Adelaide, you feel like your wings come back for a moment. You kind of, like, levitate up just a little bit on your own. Geraldine, you start to, like, get a big view, and just, I think, Amira and Winnie just clomping through this bog. You've got to, like, come down from your perches to come help them.
I want my horse.
Amira, you gotta learn to walk for yourself, babe.
Why would you do that if you have a horse that can walk for you?
You're an independent princess of whatever year this is. You gotta be able to do this yourself.
We love strong, independent princesses, even if they also have a partner.
I am independent. I am just dependent on a horse.
On a horse.
I don't need no horse, but I want one.
But I want one. I deserve one.
You look over this tower and see a few potential entrances. And what I'm going to do, because we had two nat 1s and two nat 20s, I'm going to tell you all the potential entrances.
Oh,
okay.
I'm going to tell you none of the potential difficulties.
Oh, okay. No.
You know, that's valid. That's fair.
Which feels right in the middle.
Yeah, that's fair.
From your vantage point, Geraldine, you momentarily glimpse that if you follow the bog, there seems to be like runoff coming from some kind of like sewer grate beneath the tower. And you see that there's like clearly an entrance in that way. And like the fact that there is this kind of magical runoff lets you know that there is likely an entrance somewhere into the tower to either like a kitchen or an experimentation room or something that is producing this runoff. Adelaide, you looking up with your wings to the very top of the tower, see a like grate, like a window with like bars on it. That is very, very small, like would not fit a person, but you might be able to use in some way. And I think Winnie and Amira, with your nat 20s, you just look ahead and there is a entranceway. There is a doorway directly in front of you that is the front of the tower.
So I see up there, there's a really small grate up there. I don't think any of us could fit in, but if Brownie wanted to just kind of come into the room and take like a quick little peek for us, we could kind of get an idea of what's what, maybe?
Bark. Bark. I'll scratch Brownie behind the ear and pull his head into my calf.
Oh.
What other options do we have?
We could go through, there's like a sewer grate. There's some kind of runoff. I don't know. It's coming from like a laboratory or a kitchen or some kind of a thing. But it is crawling through a sewer. We will get dirty.
And Brownie, you'd have to do that too, just so you know.
Yeah, Brownie, to be clear, you're coming into the shower.
Bark.
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 But bark.
Winnie, you are hearing this and he is just saying, bark.
What he's actually saying is bark.
Full translation.
I love it
so
much.
It's like dog slang for like, what?
Bark?
Winnie, what's he saying?
Bark.
Oh, okay.
Winnie, this is your time for jokes.
I look confused because Winnie doesn't make jokes.
Why don't we just knock on the front door?
Knock?
Yeah.
Well, we know the Chocolate Knight is very likely in sight. And if we're going to believe the intelligence that Dulcinea is dead, sure. But I fully expect to see her or some variation of her in sight.
So that means the unicorn's here.
The unicorn should be here, yes.
I think if we go through the front door, we got to be prepared for, you know, we're making an entrance. We're announcing that we are here. The other two, we might have some more stealth.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think if we're going to go through the front door and announce that we're here, then we should just, like, announce that we're here and not make it look like we're here for any other, you know, reason. Maybe, hey, We followed a trail of candy and we wanted to see if there was more candy. I feel like I heard about somebody doing that once and it turned out fine for them. So if we just like go and we're like, hey, like we followed this trail of candy, can we like have some candy or something, you know? Maybe we could even like knock and we could be like, hey, like treats or treats or something. I'm just spitballing here.
No, no. We have to sneak up on the unicorn. Be very quiet. And then we'll put a bag over its head.
Okay.
Oh, that escalated quickly. All right.
Neutralize the horn.
Okay.
Oh, so it's going over the horn. Are you worried about the horn porking through the bag? Maybe you got an extra bottle? You could put the bottle over the horn.
No, Matt has the bottles. I have no bottles.
You didn't take a single one when we left, Amir?
No, Allie just picked me up.
I mean,
part of the 10 kisses is me taking bottles.
Why can't those be two separate actions?
It's an important ritual for a relationship.
Your love language is weird.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Physical touch.
Okay, so front door. We're just going to go in through the front door.
Well, is there any way to... We don't have any more pixie potion left, do we, for the little window?
You do not. You guys had just enough for y'all.
Oh, what about this magic rope? Can we use the rope? Can we climb? Should we climb somewhere?
Well, we could climb up to the window, but it's still too small.
Yeah, we're not. We won't fit in. The only one that could fit in is Brownie.
So why don't we just use the sewer?
Let's see. Okay, we've got. So it's really between doorway and sewers.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor of sewer sneak?
Amira.
Say aye.
Oh, aye.
Aye.
All in favor of doorway announcement, say aye.
Doorway announcement, no sewer.
I guess Brownie gets to decide.
Brownie is the deciding vote.
Bark!
Bark!
You know, Adelaide, I think maybe the sewer is the option of... I'm interested in a sneak.
I'm not really a sneak person, but I guess I'll do a sewer sneak since we're all... sneaking in the sewers.
We could also split up. Scooby-Doo it. We have a dog.
Who is Scooby-Doo? Is that canon in our world?
Wow, it is. Scooby-Doo is a princess.
Oh, yes.
Scooby-Doo is a princess, that's true.
Okay, so we'll sneak in through the sewers, and we're looking for the treasure of the Caster's Past, correct? But we don't know exactly what that is.
Go ahead and roll me a wits check.
Nah, I changed out my dice, guys. I really did.
Come on, you dice.
That's a 7 under an 11. Thank goodness.
Woo!
What you recognize so far from the items that you've had to get, the Tale of the Rat King, the Ring of Gold from the Earl King's hand, these are items of significant potency. It's definitely not just anything from the Caster's Past. This is clearly like a powerful item.
Okay.
You could see it being something in her possession, something that like has a strong connection to her. And I think with that success, your mind flicks to the soul call periapt that she traded for. It might not be it, but that feels like of the things that you know, that feels the strongest pull towards you right now.
Okay, so as I say that out loud, we're looking for the treasure of the Caster's Past. I don't know what that is. I thought it was the Honey Dipper, but we have that now. And then I look at, who has the Honey Dipper right now? Somebody's wearing it. Is it Geraldine?
You guys actually didn't take the Honey Dipper.
Oh, we didn't take the Honey Dipper?
No.
So no, we never got it from her.
I'll think about the Honey Dipper. Like, I thought it was the Honey Dipper wand, but if it's not that, maybe it could be the soul-call thing.
Periapt.
We got a description of it. She described it for us.
Yeah, I think one of the other... fairies, one of the other fae, like, showed you one, like, that they, it's kind of like a common fae trinket, and it's, like, you know, kind of common corded necklace with, like, a very classic, like, pendant, like, big kind of, like, silver ring around, like, a jewel or some kind of gem.
Mm-hmm.
Very, like large opal is kind of the vibe.
Oh.
So lovely, but nothing that looks too ostentatious or crazy.
That's the best guess that I have on what it could be.
Okay.
But something tells me once we get inside and start looking around, it'll make itself known to us.
Well, I mean, in that case, do you think that's something that would be kept sort of... That feels like something to be up in the tower. Maybe starting in a basement is not a smart plan.
Yeah.
You know, why start on level 0 if we've got to go up to the 5th floor? It's a lot of stairs.
I feel like only one of us could fight up that tower.
Yeah.
Parkour!
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 Okay, so front door?
So front door it is.
All right.
Okay. Or, okay, fine.
What?
And Adelaide just looks at Brownie.
Brownie just like goes deeper into Winnie's like fur coat thing.
Oh, baby.
Winnie, you see Brownie is very much like has his eyes and nose trained. Like he is sniffing the air constantly. You see him looking up.
Okay.
Recognize that like Dark Chocolate Knight is somewhere not on the ground floor likely, but is somewhere higher in the tower. As you guys approach the front door of Dulcinea's tower, you are looking around. You know that every witch's domain, her cottage or whatever it is going to be guarded by magic. And as you are getting closer, you don't see any traps. Like you're really using all of your princess abilities and you don't see anything. And as you are getting closer to the door, you see all of a sudden the doorknob turn.
Uh-oh.
The door open. And two mint chocolate constructs.
Oh, Lord.
Walk out, each with like a pitcher of beer in their hands.
Oh.
And go, yeah, man. So, like, I don't know. So, I was thinking that what she wanted to do was like hang out, but I guess that she actually just wanted to like hang out. Yeah, man. You know, listen, sometimes you got to go into it thinking that it's one thing.
Who are you?
Can I roll a wits to see if they're hot?
you look at them. They are mint filled. You see them look. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, roll a mint check.
Let's determine their hotness.
I passed. I got a 9.
Yeah.
These guys are wielding like glaives, like, you know, uh-huh. Like spears, but with like a slashing weapon.
Yeah.
Each of them has like a stein of beer in their hands. They are made of mint chocolates, like a green thing, and clearly have like almost oozing out of them, kind of in a vibe that makes you think of pus more than anything.
Ooh.
A mint chocolate filling.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I've heard nothing about a face yet.
Face, mid.
Tell us about the face card, Brian.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I think you're immediately getting nice guy vibe.
Oh, no.
Immediately getting nice guy vibe. One of them looks at you and goes, what's the password?
Oh, password?
The other one goes, sorry, was that a question or the answer?
I think the password is password. Am I right, you guys? It's obviously, you know, she's trying to like do that thing where that jerks do, where they pretend that a joke is just a joke and not what they really mean.
They both attack.
That's fair. Valid.
I'm going to need everyone here to roll initiative.
Yeah!
That's a D6, right?
No, so this is going to be, you're going to be testing your grace.
Testing grace.
Okay. If you succeed, you are going to be acting before these mint chocolate constructs. If you fail, you're going to be acting after.
Okay.
I failed.
Oh, I was so close. It was a 3 and then it rolled into a 19.
Damn
and
it. Failed.
Oh.
Adelaide?
I passed.
Woo!
And Winnie?
I met it, so I made it.
Yeah, wonderful. We're in a real 50-50 mood.
We are 50-50 right now, yeah.
You see these two mint chocolate halberdiers look at you as you try to bluff your way through with the word password.
Should have worked.
Should have worked.
They set their steins down and go, sorry to have to do this, but we're told to kill anybody who comes in and doesn't give us the right password. Just so you know, in case, you know, hopefully we are able to kill you and fulfill our function.
Uh-huh.
Just wanted you to know in case, you know, don't want you to die not knowing what the password was. The password was Marvelous Marzipan.
Marvelous Marzipan.
Marvelous Marzipan?
Marvelous Marzipan. But it seems like in your travels, you didn't encounter that particular piece of information. So now we're just going to kill you.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
And they both attack. But Adelaide and Winnie, you get to go first. Who would like to take the first lead?
GameFound is inviting you to participate in their second RPG party, a curated event designed to help indie TTRPG creators bring their projects to life through crowdfunding. Whether you're working on a zine, a 600-page collection of tomes, or something more esoteric, this is a unique opportunity to move forward with real support, visibility, and expert feedback. Applications will be reviewed by a panel of judges from GameFound and industry partners like Darrington Press, Modiphius Entertainment, Free League Publishing, and Magpie Games. 15 to 25 projects will be selected to receive workshops with industry experts, marketing support, one-on-one mentorship, and a community of fellow designers to grow together. Open call for submissions lasts from May 5th to 26th, and crowdfunding goes live this fall. Let this be the push you need to manifest your game in the physical realm. It's going to be challenging, there's going to be stress, and if you're able to put in the work, it's going to be so incredibly rewarding. Go to gamefound.com/blog for more information and to submit your project today.
This episode was brought to you by the World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes, from romantasy novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the power those worlds have to shape our own. I'm a huge fan of post-apocalyptic world building, so I recommend starting with their piece, We Can't Stop Watching the World End, which talks about properties like GLaDLands, Fallout, and Silo, and what they have to say about humanity and our ability to imagine a world after the apocalypse. But any piece on World Builders Club is going to be a great read for those of us who love to imagine better worlds. So join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing at bit.ly/WBC many-sided or by searching World Builders Club on Substack.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitterton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitterton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
Since I got us into this, I am going to use...
It wasn't your fault.
I'm going to use my number three special ability.
Spotlight.
Yes!
Which is the showstopper. So Spotlight is absolutely correct.
Let's do it.
My skirt like kind of rips away and the bodice just kind of goes into hot pants.
Yes.
I am wearing obviously like fishnet stockings. I've got a jaunty little hat.
Oh, here we go. Yes.
And like a little cane. And I start like tip 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 tip, and I'm like tapping, and like I start like going around, and I'm and then I start singing. Okay, let me think of something that I can do that isn't gonna get us in trouble for me stealing someone else's song.
One of the mint chocolate harbingers looks at the other gates. Wait. Let's see what she does.
Valid.
Valid. Geraldine 100% takes out a flashlight and does leaps into the air to act as a spotlight coordinator.
Yes!
Don't tell me that you'll murder me and my friends, cause we are gonna do what we can to get in. Don't stomp on our necks, don't kill us in your door.
Beautiful
spotlight moment. Yes,
spotlight is going, is shining. There's like a bunch of like the glints from the hair clip from Queen Gardenia. Like there's a bunch of like metals and jewels in it and begin to glint off the flashlight that Jodin is shining, creating this like disco ball effect as you launch into this show stopping number. How many gift dice are you going to be rolling for this? You can roll up to three if you want.
Well, they want to super murder us, but everybody else still has gift dice to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
How? And it's a long rest to get a gift die back?
Yeah, it's like a full 8-hour rest.
We're going to sleep after this, so I'm going to roll.
Yeah, we are.
Like Goldilocks, yeah.
I'm going to nap it out. I'm going to roll two. So that's two sixes.
Rolling two, hell yeah. Oh, 2d6s.
3 and a 4.
Okay, 3 and a 4, so no doubles, so no mishap. The 4 gets expended, the 3 gets saved. So that is some creatures, so 7 total creatures. So you're just going to be targeting these two, unless there's other people you want. All those creatures are going to have to make a save, or they will be frolicking and dancing for 7 rounds.
Damn.
Goddamn right they will. Is there anyone else in the castle that can hear this?
Like, does anyone sense we're coming and they're like starting to be like, what's up?
I am going to make some additional saves.
There we go.
So let me make the saves for the
there we go.
Mint chocolate halberdiers.
We brought a karaoke machine.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Is that late, honey?
First one rolled a 15 and failed.
Good.
Second rolled a natural 20 and failed.
Yeah. That's an extra fail.
And then I am going to go ahead.
Yes. Neutralize some more targets.
Something inside rolled a save. And
something. What is it though?
A second thing rolled a save.
Boom. Ah!
Because you're like spending a bunch of stuff and there's a bunch of stuff that's getting expelled, I will tell you that you hear two things inside somewhere begin to clonk and flutter and clomp and clack about.
Oh,
you know what? I need to make actually one more save.
Mm. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Two things begin to clonk and clatter about as something inside is dancing. As rather two things inside, you can hear it dancing.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. It helps.
Amira, I'll just give this to you for free. You hear hoof prints inside.
I'm excited.
Amira charges inside.
Everything starts dancing. These two knights kind of, they go, wait, let's see what she does. And then all of a sudden they start just like bopping to the music. You see, like, they start swinging their halberds like over their head, like doing this like choreographed dance together. And they're like, dude, I'm so glad we practiced this all the time. Going to the castle, there's not a lot to do here. Like, I know we're just constructs and like barely have a purpose, but like, it's fun to like come up with dance numbers together.
Yeah.
You know, I'm realizing I'm just dancing for you guys. I'm realizing this is audio
medium.
It's good
for us. It doesn't matter.
I'm doing a whole thing.
It's
baby.
Good for
work
us.
Work it, Brian.
Yeah.
The audience can tell.
They can feel it through your voice. Yeah.
They can.
You guys see this surprisingly in-step choreographed routine that these two guys are doing. I'm feeling very like Saturday Night Fever is whatever where I'm going right now.
Nice.
I just thought they were probably swing dudes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why I got that impression, but I was like, these dudes definitely learned swing to meet girls.
I get it. Yeah, that kind of tracks. If your friends harm or do something mean to the affected creature, the effect ends. It doesn't affect creatures that can't hear you. I'm going to say for the moment, for 7 rounds, these guys are occupied. They're essentially like incapacitated by this thing. You can certainly attack them and I'll give you an advantage on those attacks if you want to, or you can just move past them.
Okay.
Amira, I'm going to say you bust in, and as you open the door, immediately you see a flutter of chocolate feathers.
Oh, wow.
As you see a white chocolate raven that is like dancing around in the air, looking at you going like, what the hell is this, man? It's bullshit. I was napping.
Are any of those feathers falling to the ground?
Yeah, a number of feathers fall to the ground.
Yeah. We gonna want that.
Amira, you immediately see you are in a large study. There's like bookcases all around. There's like a lounge chair. There's like tapestries on the wall. I'll let you guys kind of inspect this once we kind of figure out what everyone is doing.
Yeah.
So Adelaide, you do this show-stopping number. Do you want to make any additional moves? Do you want to use your movement?
Well, if they're doing this for like 7, and a mirror is over by the feathers that we need, or is that's not by us?
Yeah, Amira, like, went right past them into the tower.
Perfect.
Where you see this, like, flutter of bird feathers and this bird beginning to, like, swing around as if to, is preparing to peck at Amira, but is stuck dancing for 7 rounds.
If I disengage, they keep dancing, right?
For 7 rounds.
You guys can essentially walk right past them for the next 7 rounds.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna, like, start, like, tipping my hat again, and then, and then, like, take my little cane, just it, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-
At a certain point, like, one of them grabs you, but, like, spins you around and does, like, a whole dip and then, like, ushers you in.
Oh, I hope none of his ooze got on me.
The pussiness, yeah.
Not the ooze.
Moving next in the order, Winnie, what do you want to do?
Yeah, so once they start dancing under the spotlight, I'm going to move in front of both of them. And I'm of the rhythmless nation, so I'm not even going to try, but I'm going to just like align myself with them where I can have a conversation. It's like, you two look really happy. What are your names?
We actually don't have any names. We haven't given each other like any kind of monikers. We're really just kind of meant to be guards here.
Oh.
So we just kind of, and because there's not a lot of people here, we just kind of call each other like, hey, you. You know, inside there's Ghost. And he kind of points to the white chocolate raven that's flying around.
Okay.
You know, we call him Ghost, but us, we just kind of vibe. Like, who needs a name, right?
You know what?
We're just constructs. I'm still dancing. I don't know why.
It matters to us, Brian.
It feels good. It feels right.
It's important for the art.
Sometimes stuff ain't for everybody. That's for us.
Yeah.
Well, listen, hey you and hey you, I do want to just give a brief apology for my sister.
Oh, she's great.
Well, she is. And she knew the password was Marvelous Marzipan, but she also has a gift to bring out fulfillment in other people. So when you're finished dancing, you need to actually tell her that you're sorry for trying to attack her. And you need to say thank you.
Oh, word.
The password for me, Winnie, is Marvelous Marzipan. The password from Amira, my sister, is Marvelous Marzipan. And then from Geraldine there, up there, she's coming down, is Marvelous Marzipan. So we all have authority to be here. You enjoy yourself. Please apologize to my sister for bringing you something that brings you joy.
Oh, absolutely. That's 4 for 4. You guys go on in there. Have some fun.
Thanks, hey you. Thanks, hey you. And then I'm going to walk in.
One of them just like swings around to Adelaide and just goes, so sorry, ma'am. You've been an absolute delight. Enjoy your time in the evil witch Dulcinea's castle. We'll be guarding the front door to make sure nothing good comes in.
Oh, no. No.
See you guys later.
Hey.
And just as Geraldine and Amira and Winnie all come in, they close the door behind you.
As you guys walk in, you see Amira holding Ghost, and it's like, where's the unicorn? Tell me where the unicorn is. I know there's a unicorn in here. Show me the damn unicorn.
Oh, no.
What the hell, man? We just met.
We just met.
Hey, you just see Ghost is like flapping a wing, just like, listen, this unicorn just like moves around, man. I think he's upstairs in the menagerie. I don't know.
What did it say, Winnie?
Oh, this is speaking in common.
Oh, it's out loud. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, that's our bad.
Sorry.
I don't know, man. Listen, it kind of moves around as it pleases. I'm not its keeper. I'm just here to make sure that Dulcinea's shit doesn't get touched with. I think if it's anywhere, it's up in the menagerie.
Okay, good. Then I put Ghost in my pocket. To the menagerie.
Oh, wait. Can you ask Ghost really fast where the soul call periapt is?
Where's the soul call periapt? Is that what you wanted?
Mm-hmm.
Soul call periapt. Where is it?
Yeah, it looks like a pendant about this big.
Why would I help you? Are you kidding me? You're trying to put me in a pocket. You're grabbing me. You're making me molt. You know how
right,
long it takes to grow feathers, especially
we'll
white
ask in 5 minutes. We'll ask in 5 minutes. Currently busy. We'll figure it out in 5.
You feel, as you put him in the pocket, it's just this big lump that is, like, moving around and trying to get out. I will say, Amira, this thing is, like, squawking and moving around in your pocket. For everyone here, if you try to move stealthily through this place,
oh, yeah,
it will be an automatic failure.
Okay, I take it out. Can I wrap the magic rope around its beak so it doesn't squawk?
Oh. Yeah, okay.
You see, as you start to, like, wrap this rope, Ghost goes, Wait.
Oh, you remembered where the soul call periapt is.
You know where it is?
Listen. Guys.
Okay, just feed it to the dog. Brownie, you want a treat?
Okay, Brownie.
Brownie goes, arf, jumps up and bites through the head of the white chocolate raven.
Oh my god.
Wait, Brownie, that was too much.
It was a bluff. Brownie, it was a bluff.
Jesus.
Mark,
it's fine. No, baby, bluff. That was a bluff. That's where you work on
Brownie.
We'll work on your cues. That was an intimidation moment, not a kill moment.
You see all of the feathers from the white chocolate raven all of a sudden go,
oh god,
including the ones that were on the ground, and begin to fly up towards the menagerie on the second floor.
Fuck. Okay. Ah, shit, we should have grabbed one.
You hear from the top, as you hear like magical swelling or swirling up in the top, where you clearly hear this thing like reforming in some way, and then all of a sudden you hear... Fuck!
Fucking idiots!
Oh, we're gonna kill
that
bird.
That's so annoying. That's so annoying. Is.
Wait, can we see what else in here? You said we heard hooves.
I'll say everyone here, go ahead and roll me a wits test.
Oh, here we go.
Let's like spend some time here.
Okay.
Geraldine.
Pass.
Winnie.
Pass.
Adelaide.
Pass.
Amira.
Fail.
Then Amira, since you guys are spending time here, can you roll? Ah, I said you were immune to this, and I feel like I should honor it.
No.
Geraldine,
we
can
cut
you?
That.
Oh!
Because you guys are in the heart of the Witch's Tower, this is a very dangerous area. For this potential wrinkle, you're going to be rolling a d4.
Oof.
Okay.
If you roll a 1, there will be a wrinkle.
Oof.
It doesn't seem accurate, but all right. It's a 2!
Okay, no wrinkle at this moment.
Oof. All right. Oof. So we don't see any other combatants right now.
You don't see any other combatants. What you see is a large study. I'm going to say, Amira, you are specifically looking around for unicorn stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else is kind of like just quickly taking a glance around this room. What this is a very large study. You see bookcases all around the outside of the wall. There's like bookcases in the center, almost like a library. As you were looking through these books, there's like grimoires and huge tomes and texts with like lots of runic writing on them. And like there's a bunch of languages you may or may not understand. Some of them are written in like in English and like a common language, but a lot of them are strange and some of them are giving off like a weird aura. I'm going to tell you kind of the stuff in this room and each of you can tell me what you want to be looking at.
Okay.
There are many large bookshelves with a bunch of books. There is a large tapestry on the wall that seems to be like of a bedroom. There is a plush like reading chair with some kind of like tome or journal on a table next to it. And then there's a winding staircase leading up.
Geraldine is quite agile and I feel like it's as skilled at dodging attacks. I feel like she's good at sneaks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she might go check out the staircase and like do her best to sort of crawl up this thing or that thing to take a peek or to listen and hear what she hears.
Okay. Geraldine's doing staircase. Adelaide, what are you feeling?
Adelaide just flew a bunch and then just did a whole number. So she's going to check out that chair. That chair sounds really good. You're going to look and see what that chair is talking
about.
What
that chair doing?
Yeah, what that chair do?
What that chair do?
Hey, girl, what that chair
what
do?
What that chair do?
Walking around with all that chair.
Well, Winnie, what are you looking at?
So my first one was the staircase and then the chair as well. What else is left?
There's a bookcase with a bunch of books
and
a tapestry of like a bedroom.
I can't even.
That's the one that Winnie's not doing.
Right. I can't even read. No, we're not doing the bookcase, but I will go hang out with the tapestry.
Hell yeah. And then Amira, what are you looking at in this room?
I guess I'll read the books.
You're welcome to, we don't all have to do one if you don't want to. You're welcome to check out one.
No, I'll read the books. It's a great girl's trip. I'll do the thing that nobody wants to do.
So you guys begin to spread out in this room, kind of like moving quietly, checking out everything. You don't immediately see anything too, there's nothing like scary. There's nothing attacking. You guys see off to one side, there's like some stairs that like go down as well to what appears to be like a kitchen.
Oh, okay.
And there's a spiral staircase going up that Geraldine, you start to like slowly sneak up this like slightly creaky staircase, but you move slow so that nothing is too loud.
Mm-hmm.
Adelaide, you go over and flomp down into this very extremely comfy chair.
Doof.
And you see you are sitting in this chair and next to you is a like a cup of tea.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Or like kind of like a, what was it? Like a teacup, but like with just dregs in it. And a large tome that you see written in like common says journal on it.
Oh, well, I'm opening the journal. I'm obviously going to open the journal.
We love gossip.
That's good. That's good rumor right there.
Yeah.
That's gossip central.
You pop open the journal and begin to flip through it. Winnie, you start looking at this tapestry and see a very ornate tapestry of like a very realistic and lifelike bedroom. You like even have a moment where you like reach up to Felix. It looks so lifelike, but it's just fabric on the wall. You like pull it back and there's just brick behind it. But you see inside this like
tapestry of a bedroom, a like very fine bed. You see like a trunk at the front of the bed. And in the tapestry, you see a very like young woman laying down on the bed, kind of like arms crossed over top for a very like almost funereal pose. But looking peaceful, and you see around her neck is a simple corded pendant. Amira, you begin looking through these books. Amira, can you do me a favor and roll me a D10?
Oh, come on, Amira.
Look at all these books. These are nice books. Whoa. Geraldine's autobiography. That's crazy.
It's in its seventh edition.
Hey!
I rolled a 6.
Excellent.
No. Why?
Nope, didn't enjoy that at all.
No.
Why excellent?
No.
Excellent for whom?
Amira, you begin to just look at various different books, and you see a few, and you begin to pull one out of the shelf. As you pull that book out of the shelf, we over to Adelaide.
What the hell?
And you begin to open... Adelaide, you begin to open this journal and begin to flip through it, and you see written in plain English is a document of Dulcinea's life. This is a thick tome, and it you turn to the early pages, and they are almost crumbling with their age. But you see a number of entries, and as you flip through, I'm going to read you a selection of them.
Oh, here we go, here we go.
Gimme.
You flip to one of the very first pages, and you see a sketch of the hill where this tower eventually will stand. And you see it rather beautiful and lovely and filled with trees and stuff that have since been cleared to make room for this tower. The magic is strong here in the Tanglewood. Even as a novice witch, I can feel it. This will be the perfect base while I pursue my quest.
Do we get a sense that she did the drawing?
Yeah, you do.
Do we know if Dulcinea ever pursued a career in art?
Go ahead and roll me a wits test.
A wits test?
Yeah, a wits test.
Okay. I am witty.
Yeah, Adelaide's so witty.
I don't know if you know if she like pursued it, but you certainly see an adept here. As you're looking through this, you see a number of entries that all have like sketches that get better and better with age. You see like little bits of doodling that becomes like the edges and the border of pages. And very quickly, like the entries get more and more ornate over time. And as you're flipping through, there is certainly a point where they stop getting ornate and begin to get more ragged.
Ooh.
See, and this is why we need arts education, because every time someone is really good at art and they don't get to do art, they go evil.
You
straight pipeline.
You begin to flip through kind of with this in your head, and you see these early pieces getting more and more beautiful as she's talking about, the pixies have been quite hospitable. I'm honestly charmed by their queen, and I think I've charmed the queen as well into teaching me all the magic that she knows. I would like, I think, to get a look at her wand, though. The properties of honey align with my goals in certain ways, so it may prove useful.
Girl.
And you see, like, a bunch of, like, chemical formulas for honey and, like, a very lifelike sketch of the honey dipper wand and things. A few pages later, you see an entry that no longer is beautiful and instead is just, like, scratched. You see, this wand is useless. Underlined, all caps, I am no closer to discovering the secret to longevity. Though perhaps I should not be so hasty. I've found that though not the answer to my deepest questions, honey is a magically potent item and easy to work with. Yes, yes, easy to work with. I must experiment with other sweets and see if they can enhance my craft.
It's
happening.
See entries about going to look at the fae. You see entries about a foolish fairy that traded away what they thought was a trinket, but Dulcinea knew was a treasure in the soul called Periapt. Ending with the lines, I now have a way to keep my soul preserved even in death. I just need to craft a body worthy of hosting it.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Yuck.
Oh, no. God.
Adelaide, I'm going to say you're kind of like reading this aloud a bit.
I just need to craft a body worthy of hosting it. And then Adelaide stands up and like starts bowing, although no one is applauding.
Are you monologuing again?
I love Adelaide does the voices.
Winnie, I think as you're looking at this tapestry with this woman in this very funereal pose wearing what looks to be a so-called periapt, you see a body worthy of hosting it.
Before this painting, I'm probably on all fours, just kind of like taking it in moment by moment, layer by layer. And like the irritation of the voice of Dulcinea of Adelaide has me like scratching my ear with the back of my foot. And then I just stop right as I have the realization. I was like, oh no, we have to find that bedroom.
Actually, Winnie, you rolled a successful check. I think as you get down on all fours and you are like scratching behind your ear, you all of a sudden do what you do best, which is sniff. At your feet, you smell sugared plums, you smell fresh rosebuds, and most importantly, you smell spearmint and white chocolate. You smell what you immediately recognize as some kind of sleepy time tea that seems to be like spilled directly in front of this tapestry.
Do I notice that?
Winnie, if you call it out, like, I think you make the connection that like the same type of tea.
The tea ingredients that we have. Yeah, so...
tea ingredients that you have, minus the white chocolate feather. Adelaide, you see the teacup next to you. Yeah. You kind of give it a sniff, and you smell the spearmint is very strong, and the white chocolate is kind of like just a bit around the rim. Adelaide, you continue to read another entry. This is getting more and more erratic. The drawings are getting less precise. These are getting to be like harsher and harsher sketches, like someone moving so fast that they can't take the time to get it to look right. It just has to look close enough.
My experiment with the Dark Chocolate Knight has been successful. He is the most human-like of my confectionery creations. But if I'm to bridge the gap between sugar and flesh completely, I need to try something different. I have an idea. But I'll need to do some research into binding rituals, and... I'll need some children as well.
Oh, what? God! Oh,
always no. Children! Always children with these witches.
Always.
Another entry, more and more scratched. Things are progressing quickly. I can hardly bear to have the vessel out of my sight. I have fallen asleep in my experimentation chamber more nights than I'd like to admit. Perhaps a change of location is in order. And finally, you flip to the final entry. Jagged writing. Space left for what is clearly... a next entry that is an imagined success that did not come for Dulcinea.
The moon is full. The children are gathered. The vessel is complete. All that is left to the task is the doing. My victory over the unending march of time is so close. I can almost taste it.
Does she write that in? The sucking part?
She writes it in.
It is. And then Adelaide just goes slurp, 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 slurp,
slurp, slurp, slapping lips, slurp.
You see like drips of what were clearly saliva from a witch gone almost feral.
Finally, all of my sacrifices will come to sweet fruition. But I get ahead of myself. Tonight, the ritual. Tomorrow, my true life begins.
And Adelaide, the entry for tomorrow is conspicuously large and conspicuously empty. As you know what happened on that night, Celine came with her retinue, destroyed the witch Dulcinea, destroyed the Dark Chocolate Knight, and rescued the children of Deer Hollow, but not able to defeat the candy curse that had already taken effect.
Damn.
You see now the engine, the spring that was wound to bring us to this place that has been firing ever since you first made your way from Deer Hollow now to this castle. You see the full arc of it. You see that Dulcinea was crafting some kind of new body to move into. She needed to understand sugar and honey and the effects of immortality. And it seems as though she had succeeded, but moments away from it, at least. You hear mention of an experimentation chamber that must exist somewhere here.
as far as you know, no one made mention of a body of a young Dulcinea being recovered. Only of the witch Dulcinea being killed.
No face, no case.
Soap opera rules.
As you are making that connection, Geraldine, you make your way to the top of the stairs and you see a door there in front of you. You hear on the other side of it some light shuffling. You hear fluttering of wings. You can recognize a ghost, this dark chocolate raven, beginning to like reconstitute in some way. You hear a scuffing that you very much recognize to be hooves.
Oh boy.
And you hear a voice as well. Not speaking, and behind the door it's muffled, but you hear someone almost groaning.
Uh-oh.
In pain.
Oh.
Or something.
Oh, man.
And Geraldine, the last thing you hear as you're like getting closer and closer to that door, you're listening deeper and deeper, trying to understand if that voice is saying some kind of words or if those hoof prints are indeed hooves. What is that? Is that ghost that's talking? Is that some other voice? What is that sound? From downstairs in the stacks, you hear a body thump.
Oh, Lord.
As Amira, you open a book and are immediately knocked unconscious.
Amira! What?
That's so cool. That's so cool.
You're so brave.
So brave.
Taking all of these things for the team.
So brave.
This wouldn't have happened if I had my horse.
We'll tell Matt about it, don't worry.
She says as she goes down.
Tell Matt.
This wouldn't have happened if I had my horse.
Amira, you fall to the ground asleep as the book Insomnia and Its Effects clatters to the ground at your feet.
The book is called Insomnia?
The book is called Insomnia and Its Effects.
Bruh.
That's ridiculous.
That's perfect. I love it.
Geraldine sort of very elegantly and quietly leaps back down the stairs because she knows we don't want them to know what's happening. There's voices up there, but what? Amira, what happened to her?
Oh, she was reading this book. Maybe I should read this book.
Maybe I'll read the book. Geraldine's going to kick the book just like out in a direction away from everybody.
Hey.
You kick the book. Are you like shaking Amira awake or are you interacting with Amira in any way? What are you doing?
Yeah, I think that Geraldine probably bends down and goes to like shake Amira.
Amira, do me a favor. Roll me a wits test.
That sucks.
Is that like your highest stat?
That's my lowest stat.
Or are you like going to do really good?
It's my lowest stat, but I beat it. Six.
Yeah, you did.
Six over eight.
Let's go, baby.
Amira, you are roused from this magical slumber. As Geraldine shakes you, it seems like the spell wasn't particularly strong. It just knocked you out and unconscious. As you awaken, your eyes immediately kind of are like, you're rolled towards the bookcase and you open your eyes. And at the bottom of the shelf, tucked away in a corner, in a space where you see there's a bunch of dust on like the front edge of the bookcase, there's one space that does not have dust that you recognize the book is being moved into and out of often.
Oh.
And you see the title of the book, as you're like kind of on your side, you can read it perfectly. The Greatest Magical Achievement of Our Time.
Oh.
Okay, well, I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, Amira like wakes up and just like is silent, looking at Geraldine, Winnie, and Adelaide, and then just pulls out a little bit of rage from her head. And there's no bottle, so then she just like kind of has to throw it on the ground, and it starts like melting through the floor.
Oh shit!
Nah, I'm melting.
You hear it suddenly coming up from the floor, a bunch of like clatter of various like pots and pans, and you like one of you glances down through this hole and you see like animated cookware begin to like attack a non-existent intruder.
That's amazing.
And then like after a couple seconds like settle down back into like cooking.
Amazing.
Wow, Amira, your rage was so it helped us discover things.
Yeah, look at this book though.
The Greatest Magical Achievement of Our Time.
Huh? Did you read it yet, Amira? Did you?
No.
Did you like read it?
No, I just.
Amira.
I just saw. No, I didn't read it. I just saw it. I went to sleep.
Oh.
Careful! If the other one made you fall asleep, what do you think this one will do?
I don't know. Maybe it'll make me magical. And I open the book and start sifting through it.
Way to lean in, Chinook. Yep, do it.
As you pull the book, the entire bookcase Scooby-Doo's and swings around.
Oh!
you now find yourself in Dulcinea's secret experimentation room.
Secret lair. Hey,
let's go.
There's a momentary like crack of lightning from outside, and you see all of the candles around the area magically alight as you guys step into the room.
It's like hocus pocus.
All burning with various like strange technicolor flames that you recognize are not only enchanted, but are used for various incantations and things. Like there is black, blue, yellow, silver, gold, orange flames all around. And in the center of this room is a massive work table. There's like handwritten books detailing all the experiments. You see vials, mortar and pestles, cauldrons, all the classic like witchy paraphernalia. And I think most importantly, you see in the center of the room, like just off to the side of this massive work table, is a very large, you might easily say human-sized, display case. A four-side, you know, glass box with a large stand, kind of with like a hook as if to go up under someone's arms.
Oh my God, like a giant Barbie box?
Like a Barbie box?
Like a Barbie box. Good call out, Daniel. Yep.
That you notice is conspicuously empty.
Brownie, tell me if that scent smells like the chocolate night.
Brownie jumps down, runs over.
I smell the chocolate night in here, but not in the box. It's something else.
Oh.
Yeah. It smells like Dulcinea.
So I'm going to go hop in a box and I'm going to do the exact same scent work.
Yeah, go ahead and roll me a... I'll say roll a wits check with advantage.
Okay.
I think you're working with a lot of information here.
Yeah.
Just barely made it. 10 out of 11.
Cool.
Let's go.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
You do your whole scent work. You look around here. You get in the crevices and the nitty-gritty bits. You smell on the tapestry and in the room and in the chair. You could smell a very aged Dulcinea. You can smell time on someone at a certain point.
Question. Teacher. What does time smell like?
That's a valid question. We want to know.
That is so valid. It smells like... eggnog.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't like that.
We accept this response. Thank you.
Eggnog.
I will take no additional questions.
You said one question.
You used up your one question.
Oh, we're good.
Time smells of eggnog.
Time smells of eggnog.
I get in. Sweet, little creamy, little spicy.
I think you recognize it smells of Dulcinea, but it also smells like sugar.
And sugar.
Dulce de leche.
yes, say it louder, please. In case it's missed. That is so important. It's so important just for me.
Commit to it.
Just for friendship.
Just for friendship.
sorry. Go ahead.
I said dulce de leche.
Thank you. Okay. All right.
Yes.
That was very important. Thank you.
Listen. Oh my God.
As you guys spend time in this room, Amira, Adelaide, and Geraldine, go ahead and also roll me some wits checks just to kind of see as you guys are spending time here. And Winnie, can you do me a favor? This is a dangerous area and you're spending some time. Can you roll me a D4?
Oh, it's my turn to do this nonsense?
As long as you don't roll a 1, nothing happens.
A 3.
Excellent.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Adelaide, did you pass?
I did.
Okay. Geraldine?
No.
Amira?
Nar.
No.
Nar.
Okay. Adelaide, do me a favor. Roll a d6 for me, and I'll tell you something else that you find in this room.
Ooh.
I rolled a 1.
Whoa.
As you are looking beneath the notes here, you begin to pull through the notes, and you see a lot of what you found in the journal that Dulcinea was working with sugar and trying to refine it, working with honey. Like, when that didn't work, then she went deeper to the base level of sugar. You see like a container of what seems to be like some kind of soul encrusted sugar. But as you are moving that aside.
Teacher.
Yes.
What does encrusted soul look like? Because like sugar becomes like caramel.
Understood. Yes. That is an excellent question. And let me tell you, it looks like pink
rock candy.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Pink rock candy and eggnog. We're on a fire today. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
No follow-up questions.
I will take no follow-ups.
And I take no follow-up questions at this time. Thank you.
But as you are moving aside a bunch of papers, you see beneath that a very thick grimoire. And I think all of the princesses here immediately feel the potency of this item. Not that it is just magical, but that it is malevolent.
Oh.
Adelaide, with your successful test, you immediately recognize that this is a spell book. This contains very dark and maybe cursed magic. Even to look upon it could be dangerous. But you are absolutely sure that while it is dangerous, it will likely also be powerful.
Do I still have that, like, skirt that I kind of sacrificed to the altar legally distinct song? Okay.
I think as you tore off the skirt, you swung it around and then became like a little capelet.
Gorgeous. Yes. I'm gonna take the capelet off, and I'm gonna throw it over the book and like put it in a bindle so that like we have the book, but no one looks upon the book.
Hell yeah. You bindle up this book. You feel the emanating power and like malevolence of this thing. The fabric of your skirt turned capelet begins to just get like grayer and darker, not necessarily fraying, but just taking on an appearance of weathering and evil.
Ooh.
I don't like the look of that at all.
I think you immediately know this is safe to touch. It is the opening of this that could be dangerous.
That's dangerous. Okay.
What else are you guys looking for in this room? I think you recognize that there's a lot here you could learn about Dulcinea's experimentations. I think you as you're looking through, you have most of that information. You recognize this empty case. Winnie, as you're sifting through, you recognize that there is the smell of Dulcinea, the smell of sugar, the smell of youth. You smell that smell, the trail of it, leading out back into the study.
Okay.
And you could probably pick it up if you go back into the study and like follow it to its terminus.
When we're finished here, I can follow this. I'm going to look down at Brownie. We can follow this scent trail out.
Bark!
Do we see any thread or a loom?
I think in this room, I don't think you see a loom, but you do see like thread and you see a number of like textile elements here. You see a number of like crafts and witchy elements, and DIY. Amongst them is definitely very DIY.
The dangers of DIY.
Oh my god.
You see everything from like herbalism elements, like you see a lot of like dried herbs and things and potions and like vials and things. And I think you do see like a number of textiled arts that have been like sewn, like runes sewn into various things so that they can be easily activated on clothes or like hung in places.
Okay.
But we don't see anything that suggests, for instance, the tapestry from the other room was like crafted in this lair. Do we see evidence of anything like that?
Saying.
Yeah.
You're so smart.
That's a good question.
You're so smart.
As you are looking through this place, you begin to like move things aside, and deep in the like back of this experimentation room, you pull out a large, I will say, I think you find a loom, and you recognize that there's like a large, wheel of thread on something that is going down and getting dipped into some kind of like alchemical agent and then going back up onto this loom, creating like some kind of magical weaving.
Wow.
Does it smell like anything, the ink?
It definitely has like that sweet smell. Like Dulcinea had found something that works and is clearly like using it again and again and trying to find ways to refine it.
Does it also smell like youth?
It does also smell like youth.
Hey, teacher?
Teacher?
Yeah?
What does youth smell like?
It smells like skinning your knee.
What?
Ouch.
Oh, so like kind of coppery, a little like grassy.
Yeah.
Earthy. Okay. Earthy.
And like it kind of smells like one starting to cry, not because you want to be brave.
Okay.
So brave.
So brave.
So brave.
Okay. It smells like blaming your older sibling for this. Okay, we're good.
Yes.
It wasn't my fault.
It's not what it smells like, Mom. All right.
Jodine, I think you absolutely sense that like that tapestry could have been woven in this room. And it's very much infused with some kind of magic.
Very wary of this tapestry. It's something about it. It just feels spooky.
Oh, I think because you asked me specifically what does it smell like, Winnie, I think you get close to this yarn.
Mm-hmm.
It smells like spearmint.
Oh,
if it smells like spearmint, do we see sugar plums or rosebuds anywhere?
Yeah, I think scattered about here, you see that a copy of that recipe for Sleepy Time Tea.
The components are here.
Oh, no.
You see some, like, dried rosemary. You see, like, a drag of a sugar plum.
Who here is really good at spells? It might be a mirror.
I feel like it would have to be a mirror. You're the one who's, like, good at kind of taking elements and turning them into real things.
Oh, because I'm the healer, I have to be good at magic.
I mean, feel like you might know.
I mean,
yeah.
Like you know how potions work, Amira.
Sure, yeah.
It's like a skill you have.
I'll do it.
You just, like, destroyed a floor with your anger turned corporeal. So I feel like if you're the one who would know how to do this, because you're so smart.
And brave.
Yeah.
I am.
Well, and it's just,
I am very smart.
Like, Amira, do you think... Do you think the sleepy time tea, do you think it has to be ingested? Or, like, if we just sort of splashed it on someone, would they fall asleep?
Ooh.
Well, that's a good question. Brian.
go ahead, roll me a wits check. I'll say roll it with advantage.
There we go.
You guys got a lot of information.
We do have a lot of information, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wits test. Thank God that's advantage, because I passed.
Okay. Hey!
You look at this, like, alchemical reagent that this thread is going through. You smell, like, the spearmint and the sugar plum and the white chocolate. You immediately recognize what this is in terms of a magical sense. This is a teleportation spell and a alchemical key. So what you are recognizing is whatever this tapestry was, or whatever this tapestry is representing, it is a doorway.
Okay.
And the key to get through that doorway is the sleepy time tea.
Wow.
Oh, so you drink the tea and then you walk through the magic tapestry in the other room.
Yeah.
But Amira, how do you get back? Do you just drink more on the other side?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Brian is like, nope, I'm not going to contest that. You run with it.
The confident nod of a GM.
Sure. Wow, that's crazy. A doorway through a tapestry.
I wonder if we could use the rope to straddle that doorway.
Ooh, maybe someone drinks the potion and then, yeah, we hook a rope to them and then they go deeper into it and then we can yank them out.
Could soak half the rope in the potion, maybe?
Adelaide looks at Brownie.
Bark! No, that works for me. This works for me. I'll tie Brownie to me, and I have herbalism on my sheet. I'm going to start brewing this damn tea. We've got all the ingredients here. We might as well get this party started.
We've got all the ingredients.
I will say, you guys don't have the white chocolate raven's feather.
Damn, did those disappear? We didn't get those upstairs? Yeah.
Because Ghost got killed, all of the feathers disappeared.
They did all float up, didn't it? The disrespect. Well, we're going to get it started because it needs to be stirred with a feather. I can get the tea ready. It just needs to be stirred with those feathers.
And that's why Brownie has to be the one who goes.
Yes. Yes.
Like any good dog, if we're going to travel through space, we have to put
him in. Oh, my God.
The dog ate that bird the first time.
That's so sad.
Poor space dog.
No, Brownie will be
You'll
fine.
You'll be back. You'll be back, Brownie.
Nope, we're good. I'm going to get the tea ready. The only thing we need to do is stir it with a feather, and we need to go get that damn raven.
Well, it's, speaking of the raven, I listened up the staircase, and I'm quite certain there was a door, and behind the door I heard some hoofing, potentially a unicorn.
Amira's up the stairs.
Hold, Amira!
Amira's...
Hold!
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 Everyone just grabs Amira.
Amira has her axe out. It's like, no, no.
Amira, wait!
And it's, the bird's up there, but there was a voice. It sounded like it was in pain, maybe, or something. There was something familiar about it, but it didn't ring a bell.
Because this will inform my decision-making, the thing that sounded in pain, did it sound human or animal?
Oh, Brian, could I tell? Human?
It sounded human.
It sounded human.
It'll be okay.
It'll be okay.
Okay.
It's true. It's so brave.
We'll get to him.
I mean, it could well have been The chocolate knight could have been in pain, I suppose, but that would mean that they're weak.
Oh, I could fix him.
Actually, I'm going to growl. I've upgraded enough levels now where my frustration just comes out.
Oh, it's Adelaide, maybe a different time. It's not the day. I think we may have to go up there, unfortunately. And
okay.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going to happen when we go through that door, but I anticipate it. We're going to have all our, every single one of our druthers.
Okay, great.
Where do we get more druthers? Yeah.
I don't know if they have those in the store cabinet or not.
I don't know.
Oh, no, they do. It's right there.
Oh, right there it is. Oh, it's a shelf called druthers.
Okay, we're good to go. Time to get that unicorn.
Is that one of the potions that Amira picked up when we were in the...
The Rat King's Lair?
The Rat King's Lair.
Might be. Who knows?
Well, it's, we want to take something and see how it goes. I don't know, but everybody, gird your loins and heave-ho.
Okay. So we're going up, right, to see what's up there, and then also if we can get our hands on that ghost.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm also going to say, because you guys were looking directly at the potions and you called it out by name,
okay.
One of the things on this random table is a common healing potion.
Hey.
I think, Amira, you spot this immediately. go ahead and add a common healing potion to your inventory.
Look at us.
Don't know why we need this. This is my job, but okay.
I love that you're being catty about free loot.
The one time.
That's
the
some
one
new
time.
Shit in gaming, honey. Oh my god, free shit. Oh.
Like, oh, my pockets are so full. Oh.
If I had my horse, I could carry this potion, but now I got a horse. Oh.
Amira looking at that potion like brand X generic, like.
Oh. It's a Kirkland's healing potion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great yeah. value potion.
Great value potion.
It does 1d4 minus one. You guys pull out the book on the shelf and back into the study and begin to make your way up the stairs. As you move quietly up the stairs, you hear from behind the door the things that Geraldine heard. You hear the fluttering of this white chocolate raven. You hear a clip-clopping of hooves behind the door, and you hear the sound of something clearly wrestling in pain. I think the image that conjures in your mind of what you're hearing behind this door is a voice, almost like someone in bed, like wrestling with a sickness in bed.
Oh, yeah.
And just like almost calling out and trying to just like force their way through some kind of pain.
Oh, poor baby.
Mm.
You see the door in front of you. Do you enter through this door? And how do you enter through this door if you do?
Where do we... We had some luck making a grand entrance before.
Yeah, and they sound injured. So if we just open up the door and they try to fight us, we can just like stab them where it hurts.
Entrance or just open the door?
Just swing the door open.
I think just open the door.
Let's take it to the face.
I think I have a frying pan. I'm just like holding it.
Yeah, yep.
We kick the door open.
Yeah.
Amira, you hear the hooves behind this door. You recognize what they are. You don't have to open the door to know there's a unicorn behind that door.
Yeah.
And you kick in the door. Amira, you've been looking for a unicorn for years, ever since you saw it as a little girl, and even more so now that you need its tears to reverse the curse on Matt. And so it is worth saying that the unicorn, though standing right in front of you, is not the thing that you notice first.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
Adelaide, you've had a question this whole time. How hot is he? You have an answer, one far from what you had hoped for.
Oh.
You see the dark chocolate knight, half of the armor off. You see the helm reforming over top. Of her face.
Her face.
That changes nothing. Continue.
It changes nothing, but yeah, but I'm surprised. I like this. Okay.
You see a beautiful woman.
All right.
One you know quite well.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
One of the bravest women you have ever known.
Oh, no.
No.
Celine looks back into your eyes. What are you doing here? Get out. You need to run! And that is all for this episode.
No!
of my first dungeon.
No!
Brian!
That hurt, Brian. And you knew
I can
that was
fix
coming.
Her. I can fix her.
I can
we
fix
can
her.
Fix her.
We can
we
fix her.
We know her.
We can fix her.
Gender and a problem, baby.
Minnie's finally on board.
Yeah, it's just that she's our like sister. It's not the gender.
Yeah, Minnie's yeah, like, yeah, no, yeah. no, no, no. Yes, this we can fix.
We might have to euthanize, so guys, this is going to be bad.
Celine.
Oh, man.
Tune in next time.
I hate it.
Oh!
For the showdown with the Dark Chocolate Knight.
Noir.
And to find out if these four princesses can find the last item they need to break the spell of the Candy Curse.
Mm. Ah!
And as always, remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Mwah. Bye. Mwah.
Not having fun.
I swear I wanted to say the same thing. I just wasn't going to interrupt that tagline. I'm upset.
I wasn't going to interrupt the tagline.
I wasn't going to interrupt the tagline.
Nothing else is sacred but the tagline.
Respect the tagline.
This season of My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is one of our favorite online game stores and offers a curated selection of indie tabletop RPGs and solo games delivered to you with care. Use code PERIL15 to get 15% off of Perils and Princesses, Sweet Revenge, or any other game at tabletopbookshelf.com. This episode features the voice talents of Brian Flaherty, Abby Hepworth, Bridget Jeffries, Danielle Radford, and Chinook Tissera. Editing and sound design by Jay Stroutman. This episode features a theme song and some original music by Behold. Additional music and sound effects provided by Artlist.io. My First Dungeon is a many-sided media production. If you want even more My First Dungeon, join our Patreon to get access to the cast talkback for this episode, which sounds a little something like this. Every intention was just have them stand out front. And then you guys, and there was that crazy nat 1, nat 20 thing, and I was like, okay, I guess maybe they're inside and they'll come out and they'll like surprise them or whatever.
Yeah.
But then when they came out, I was like, but why were they inside?
They were on break.
I was like,
yeah, they had a
they got break.
They were on their 15-minute break.
Union mandated break.
Union mandated 15-minute break. Union and they went and got a beer.
They do it together.
Right. And remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Let's play games and not eat dirt.
God.
Yep.
We're back.
I might have to keep that in the episode.
Yeah.
Just that non sequitur.
Let's play games, not eat dirt.